So as you've heard for the last 90 minutes or so, the Real One Player is an exciting piece of software. From our perspective as blind and vision impaired people, it would be even more exciting if some of the accessibility issues could be dealt with. So we got on the phone to Richard Brownwig, who is the General Manager of Consumer Software for Real Networks, and had a chat about the product in general, and of course accessibility in particular. Richard, I appreciate you giving up some time. Real One is a bold departure from past Real Network strategy, which saw separate media players and jukeboxes in the past. How's this being received by consumers in general?
It's been very positive. Jukebox customers or media, you know, people that manage their music on their desktops really like the integrated streaming solution and vice versa, because it's a better utilization of your resource on your computer. It provides an integrated experience so that you could conceivably be using your jukebox and surfing the web to look for other additional content to add to playlists and all. So it's been very well received.
It's an interesting concept, isn't it? Because what I'm finding now as I look at some new Real One content is that there is accompanying information that pops up in the media browser as you're playing your Real Media content, and it's a true multimedia experience in every sense of the word. There's a real convergence now between the web and Real Media.
That is correct. One of the things that we have done is we've enabled content authors to add additional contextual information, if you notice off to the right of the video or in the web browser that's below the video, such that they can direct people to additional content because they want people to experience and stay in their web properties. It no longer means that a user clicks on a link, sees one video, and then goes away. They now can provide a better experience whereby a user can consume additional content. And, you know, people monetize the content in many different ways. The longer you keep somebody, the more opportunity you have to monetize. And right now on the web, people are looking for alternative means to monetize.
Absolutely, and of course with the whole business with CARP, the question of monetizing is a particular issue for those who are delivering music over the web.
That is correct.
All right, let's take a look at the other side of the coin, though. I guess there must be some consumers who say, look, I have a CD extraction program that I'm perfectly happy with, and all I want is a no-frills player that will play Real Media content. Are there any disgruntled users out there who preferred things the way they were?
Well, some people are concerned when during the beta program, I'll be honest with you, we were a little aggressive in taking the jukebox MIME types, the MP3 and CD audio MIME types, and so some people were upset that we were not as user-friendly in that regard. But since we've gone gold and we asked the user during the install time, do you want us to be your default CD player and MP3 player, we seem to alleviate that issue because, as you say, some people just want to streaming player where they can take advantage of the rich, what we call three-paned experience, and use another media management tool, and that's perfectly acceptable.
In terms of obtaining the Real One software, am I right that the only way to do that is to accept the 14-day free trial of the premium features and then cancel that trial beforehand if you can't afford to pay or you don't wish to? Or is there, in fact, a no-frills player that you can download straight out of the box without the 14-day trial?
Well, yes, you can download it for free. It's free player. We just, to a lot of people, when you come through the free path, you will get offered a couple of times, I believe twice, the opportunity to go in the 14-day trial, but you do not have to accept the 14-day trial. Be that as it may, we're getting about, 5,000 to 5,500 users, a day that are accepting that and trying out the 14-day trial as part of their opportunity to get the player. But no, you can get a free player without signing up for anything.
Are you satisfied with the degree to which users are going beyond the 14-day trial and signing up for a Superpass permanently?
Yes, we are, and we haven't announced our numbers because our quarterly reports will be coming up shortly, but, you know, the program, people have been very, you know, enjoying the content. NASCAR's helped. That's been very positive for us, and baseball's been very good for us. So, I mean, you know, people are subscribing to the various packages that we have and allowing them to try before they buy, because the subscription process is new to many people, has only helped that.
I do have some specific access questions. Obviously, our target audience here is the blind community, but can I start with a general question? Is there awareness within Real Networks that there are some serious access concerns with Real One?
Yes, there is. I'm the general manager in charge of consumer software, and right after we launched the Gold product, we started telling people about the new product, and it wasn't very long after that a couple visually impaired people informed us of the fact that the installer wasn't able to take advantage of the screen reading software. There were some other issues with the product working with the menus, and we immediately stuck some of our top people on it to fix it. As Real Networks has done in the past, we have provided very good usability and supported accessibility. It was just not tested thoroughly enough before we shipped Gold, and we're working to correct that right now.
Presumably you have a private beta testing team. Are there not blind people on that team?
This was not sent in. The beta test was sent outside. However, the beta testers, we did not get reports back during the beta period because we do have a lot of people that do report bugs and we do fix a lot of things. But unfortunately, we didn't get feedback during that period of time. We only got it after the Gold period because that's when a lot of the people that were visually impaired started getting notices through their current Real Network software that we were using that there was this new upgrade available. We don't typically message about betas to customer bases. We let them find out via, you know, the websites and things.
Okay. Real Networks has actually quite a good reputation in this area because for some years it's improved its keyboard accessibility, and actually there are more keyboard commands than ever in Real One, ironically enough. Has this been a complete rewrite? Is that where the problem started? Because in the past, many of the regular controls in the Real software have just used standard Windows controls and have been able to be used by screen readers.
Yeah, it was a complete rewrite. The new UI that you see, there was a rapid development tool that was built to allow us to enable to build UI very quickly. Unfortunately, some of the Microsoft accessibility APIs were not incorporated into the actual this tool, which, for example, make buttons visible to screen reading programs and to text-to-speech programs. So it was just not tested thoroughly enough, and so we missed those areas. And what we're doing is we're actually working with companies like GW Micro very closely and the folks from JAWS to provide or to actually solve this problem and help us make sure we're not overlooking anything that we might have to do to solve the problem.
In the short term, obviously, as you've already indicated, one of the key problems is the install package, because if you can't get past first base, you're not going to be able to use the software. In my, I guess, limited understanding of what's going on here, because I'm not a programmer, presumably that is just unbundling a series of files that are wrapped up in that package. Is it not possible to quite quickly put out a version of Real One that installs using, say, a standard install shield program that is accessible to blind people?
That would be one solution, but to be quite honest with you, we're getting pretty close to being completed. We're working, as I said, very closely with GW Micro, as a matter of fact, and we're pretty close to having a correct solution. And I also would not feel comfortable saying that the product is 100% accessible. So we want to make sure and to be very thorough in testing it. So I'm not comfortable in just fixing the install issues without testing the whole product, because I want to make sure I do it right. I don't want to make a mistake again.
Okay. Yeah. In terms of the selecting of media types, apart from the install, this is the second biggest issue on which we've had feedback. And it's really ironic to me because when I look through the preferences dialog, it's very accessible overall, just using standard tree view controls and list views and radio buttons. And then when you get to the media types control, it just completely stops working with a screen reader. So that's obviously another thing that you're working on right now.
Very high, very high. As a matter of fact, the discussion, I believe, the topic of discussion we had with GW Micro last week was just how to solve that problem, because it's a non-standard control, so we're working through those issues with them. So that the preference dialog box that allows you to choose the media type can be read and can be accessible to visually impaired programs.
What does this mean for real networks in the context of Section 508 of the Rehab Act, which of course requires that governments take account of whether software is accessible or not? Are you concerned about the potential damage to government contracts as a result of this?
I'm not aware, and to be quite honest with you, I'm not aware of this one area, and so I'd have to defer the answering that question. I'd have to get back to you on that.
That's fine. One of the things you've already mentioned is that people are being asked or invited or in some cases told to upgrade from Real Player 8, which works okay, to Real 1. Is there any way of holding that procedure pending an accessible release of Real 1?
Well, here's what we're doing. Let me kind of try to elaborate a little bit more. I think where the biggest issue we've had with the visually impaired people is that they want to take advantage of baseball, because baseball was sold to the Real Player 8 customers. The other Real One content was only available through Real One, such as the new channels guide and all. So what I've got the Major League Baseball to agree to and work with me on is we are going to actually build a page that's better for the schedule for visually impaired people that will work and optimize better in a screen reading program, allow the visually impaired folks to still use Real Player 8 for baseball until we get Real One Player fixed. So in answer to your question, the visually impaired people will still be able to use the Real Player 8 because all the content will play that would play in Real One, with the exception of the premium subscription content. All the content would play in Real Player 8, and the content that they purchased prior to Real One, which being the Major League Baseball, we will work with Major League Baseball on getting this page up such that they can continue to use their subscription and use Player 8.
I've not had personal experience of this myself, but I've heard from a couple of people who've emailed the show to say that they're getting messages saying their Real Player 8 has expired. What would be the circumstances that would cause them to get a message like that?
Okay, it shouldn't have stated that it has expired. They might have get told that it's out of date, and that's because it's an update message. They can ignore the update messages. It's not in any way expired. It will work, continue to work.
Okay.
The gold product is still, you know, the Real Player 8 gold product still works fine and does not have an expiration on it, per se. It's probably they might have read or misunderstood the wording from being out of date to being expired. It's not, there should not be an expired message.
That's helpful. One of the features that we've also noticed has disappeared from Real One is the Seek To feature. I don't know if you've had other feedback on this, where you could bring up a little dialogue and type in hours, minutes, and seconds, the exact point in a Real Media clip that you wanted to go to. Is there any chance of getting that back? Because that was particularly helpful for blind people.
Okay. You caught me there. I thought that was still there. I will have to take a look at that for you and take that under advisement. If it's not there, I'll make sure that it gets back into the feature list.
We'd certainly appreciate that. I certainly don't see
it on... I understand why you'd want it. I'm surprised. I thought that was still there.
Okay, that's excellent. Just one final question. The users have written to me indicating that when sometimes they go to a website and they download some audio, and they're saying that since installing Real One, they are getting MP3 files renamed with a MPGA extension. What's causing that, and why is that happening?
That's not us renaming them. We don't rename files. What will happen is during the downloads, the files will come down based on the MIME type that the web server has set up, and when it comes down, we just import them whichever way the web server sends them down. The Real One Player does not rename files. So what I'd be more than happy to do is go and check and see if we can reproduce it over here and try to do a little bit more troubleshooting. But, you know, I use the product all the time and download MP3s and don't seem to have that problem.
That's very interesting, because when we right-click on a file on a number of websites, it might, for example, be called, let's say, mm82.mp3, which is a main menu file. It comes down, subsequent to installing Real One, instead of being .mp3, which it always was before, it suddenly become .mpga when you click on Save As in Internet Explorer.
Okay. I will have to look into that for you. It should not be doing that. We should not be renaming any files, because our download manager is specifically designed to import the file, maintain its file extension, read the metadata off the file, and put it into your library such that you can keep it and play it.
Right.
So I will take a look at that and try to see what the problem is.
That'd be good. When will you anticipate releasing, even in some sort of beta form, I guess, an accessible version of Real One? You were saying that the results are quite close now.
Well, we're gonna until I have some visually impaired people and the folks from GW Micro who've offered to help us to test it. I'd rather not give you that date because I don't know how close we are to being completed. But we're working very aggressively to get this thing out the door as soon as we possibly can. I'm sorry I can't be more committal to that, but I'm hoping next week to finalize some last few things with the folks at GW Micro to get this thing done.
Well, I certainly appreciate the fact that you've made yourself available in the way that you have, and hopefully blind users will feel somewhat assured by the fact that you guys are right onto it. And thank you so much for coming on the show.
Yes, and again, if they have any questions, they feel free to contact our technical support. I've talked to our technical support about these issues, and we'll try to assist them in any way that we can.
Main menu.
Main menu.
Main menu.
Main menu.
It's time for us to log off for another week. On behalf of all of the Main Menu team, I'm Jonathan Mosen, inviting you to join us again for another Main Menu.